Okay, so let me just explain this motion a little bit because it's a little complicated. The first part says, whereas four KPFT staff delegates were removed by the KPFT chair improperly in violation of the following PNB resolution, and then follows a quote from a resolution of the Pacifica National Board that was passed, I think this goes back to 2009 or something like that. And
that's correct.
Right. And the, and that motion essentially well, should I read that motion that we were referencing? Just to jog the memory. Let me do that. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws only set forth one specific change of status as a legitimate basis for removal, namely the appointment to an elected political office, and whereas a change of status from listener representative to staff representative does not constitute a change of status recognized by the bylaws as a, quote, disqualifying act, and whereas the Pacifica bylaws do not recognize or delineate any difference in the roles nor place any conflict of interest restrictions on staff representatives, and whereas to arbitrarily deem any other non-specified change of status as constituting a disqualifying act could lead to the arbitrary removal of board members, be it therefore resolved that it is Pacifica board policy that a change of status of a board member once elected will not be deemed a disqualifying act unless decided otherwise by the Pacifica National Board or until such time as there is an amendment made to the relevant section of the Pacifica bylaws. Okay, and that's the section of Pacifica Board resolution that was passed previously and that is still in effect since it was never rescinded. And the intent of this motion is to cite that previous policy and say that this policy should apply in the case of these four delegates who were removed from the KPFT LSD. Is that more or less a correct summary, Duane?
I agree with that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, is there any discussion?
Yeah, Eileen, if I may.
Eileen, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand that situation because I understood that those people, I guess, did they cease to be staff members? Isn't that what the case was or the explanation for removing them from the board was, that they were no longer staff members and no longer represented the rest of the staff? Is that how that works?
Well, that's a question for Dwayne.
Yeah, that
makes sense.
I'll be glad to address that. If we were, we would need to take each case differently because, for instance, Wendy Schrell, at one point during her tenure this year, was no longer a staff member and then became a staff staff member again. So that's the ambiguity with respect to her. The other three, their shows either were voluntarily stopped in the case of Joseph Davis, and the other two, their shows were involuntarily ceased. In addition, that would be Joseph Davis, and voluntarily his producer of the show just simply quit, and the show stopped. As the case with Wendy Schrell, that is not the case. She was a paid staff at one time, then her position was eliminated or ceased to be paid by the former interim IED. Then she became a volunteer during that period, and after the period that she has been, her tenure on the board was terminated by Matthew Moore as it relates to Benicia Patel, it's really convoluted in that she was a member of a show that's still on the air. She's volunteered. The former IED did not validate her time, nor did the new IED attempt to get the former IED to validate her time. So there are ambiguities as to this section of the bylaws indicate that just because you lose your status, this is the underlying argument. Not a matter of whether or not they were associated with any shows. The underlying argument is if we accept the writ of the bylaw, it says that if you lose the status of staff, that is not a justifiable reason to remove you from the board. So I don't want to get caught up into whether they were volunteers for a show or whether they met the hours and all of that, because that's not what the writ requires. You could become a volunteer, and Matthew Moore made the argument, well, they are now listener volunteers, and so they could not qualify for protected status. So I just want to make it clear to you that there was some politics going on to intentionally purge them by not allowing them to donate time or to be able to have an opportunity to document their time.
Okay. Is there further discussion?
Yes. I'd like to say that not only was this a violation of the policy set in 2009, which has stood us in good stead for 10 years across the network, it also was done procedurally improperly because the chair of the board of KPFT decided unilaterally without the approval of the local board to just remove them because of what he deemed to be a more correct interpretation of the bylaws. It should be said that he did not know about this policy from 2009, but whether it was known or not, in my opinion, it was improper for this kind of decision to be made without it being brought to the local station board to have the local station board make an adjudication of it. So it was wrong in that it violated the 2009 policy, number one. And the only way to have done this would have been to rescind that 2009 policy first on the PNB level, but then also there was the impropriety of a unilateral action of removing properly elected staff delegates without local station board approval.
Thank you.
I have something else to add, Chair.
Okay, go ahead, Dwayne.
James for the stack.
I wouldn't want to give the Chair Matthew more cover as Grace just did, because it was brought to the floor at the particular meeting prior to and after the action was taken that there was such a site in our bylaw. So he was fully aware of the 2009 action that the PNB had taken. So I want to make that clear on the record as well. He's fully aware. But they acted with that knowledge. We need to speak to Bob Gardner, because that has not been addressed, and let me know when the appropriate time would be to speak to Bob Gardner's issue.
Well, your motion includes something about Mr. Gardner.
Well, I take it that you're saying this is the appropriate time.
If it's information of a confidential nature that relates to personnel or legal issues, then we cannot discuss it in an open session.
It relates to process.
If it relates to process, then we can discuss it. As long as we don't get into sensitive legal issues for which we might be legally vulnerable if we discuss certain kinds of issues in an open session.
I can appreciate that, and I will avoid such references. However, I believe, again, an effort that if Mr. Gardner had the resources, Mr. Gardner would have brought a lawsuit against the local vis-a-vis the foundation because of violation of his right to due process. So the process was violated is what the underlying point here is that the bylaws require that should a member be removed, that there is a certain process that needs to be followed. And the ensuing documentation has been requested in this, or at least promised in this motion, will bring that forth, that they chose not to follow the procedures prescribed in the Pacifica bylaws to remove a local LSV member. So therein lies the real problem. They did not follow and give Mr. Gardner due process.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. We have to get going. Is there any further discussion on this motion?
Yeah, this is James. I asked to be on the stack.
Okay, this will be the last speaker on this motion. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, please cut me off if I step over the boundaries of the naming names or anything else inappropriate. But I would like to connect this with what's going on at present, which is this seems to have possibly been part of a series of actions that have taken place, which include the pending removal of a member of this board from the KPFA area.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to cut you off, James, as you're off topic. You're not speaking to the motion on the floor. We're going to go to a vote now. Are there any objections to this motion? Okay. Seeing that there's no objections, the motion is passed by acclamation. Next item on the agenda, motion on opening nominations of the Pacifica National Board Affiliates election. Grace Aaron. Grace, could you make the motion?
Yes. Can I have a moment of personal privilege just for 30 seconds, Alex?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
In regard to the statements I made about KPFT, I cannot guarantee the truthfulness of what I said because it was third hand. So it's just what I heard from others. I wasn't there. I didn't have first hand experience of what went on at KPFT. Okay, affiliate director, motion affiliate.
This is James with a point of personal privilege.
Can this wait, James?
No, it's similar to what Grace just said.
Okay, what is your point of personal privilege?
That we're not streaming, and I have a communication from a member suggesting that we take a recess and go to a different number and possibly solve the problem that way.
I doubt that's the problem anyway.
I
understand.
Okay, continue. Okay, Grace, back to you.
Okay, so this is the affiliate director election motion. As the Pacifica bylaws state that an election for two affiliate director seats on the PNB shall be concluded in December, and as the nomination period for affiliate director candidates ends on November 15th per the bylaws, therefore be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board officially opens up the nomination period tonight, October 3rd, 2019, which I would change. Oh, yes. Well, I don't know if that should be changed. Anyway. Tonight for candidates for the two affiliate director seats on the Pacifica National Board. Further be it resolved that the PNB directs the IED to ensure that a notice be placed on the Pacifica website about the nomination period and the upcoming affiliate director election. Further, be it resolved that the PNB also directs the IEG to instruct Ursula Rudenberg, affiliate program director, to alert all Pacifica affiliates of the opening of this nomination period within 1 week, either by email, written communication, or by phone. And further, that efforts be made by any Pacifica staff or affiliate director attending the GRC Grassroots Radio Conference being held this weekend, October 4th to 6th, in Rochester, New York, to apprise participants at this conference of this opportunity for Pacific affiliates to become our sponsor candidates for the two affiliate director positions on the Pacifica National Board. The pertinent section of the Pacifica bylaws follows, and I won't read that whole section unless you want me to. Section 4, nomination and election of affiliate representative directors.
No, I don't think we need to read that. No.
Okay, so...
Would you like to remove the section about the GRC conference and that's
I'd like
obviously
to remove that second
no longer
section.
Relevant?
Right, and I'd like to remove the date of October 3rd.
Okay. Any objections to that amendment? Well, it requires a second for me. First, well, the motion as a whole requires a second, and then the amendment requires a second. Do we have a second for the main motion?
I second it. Eileen.
Okay. So, Grace, you already introduced an amendment. Do we have a second for the amendment?
Sean will second the amendment.
Okay. All right. Are there any objections to the amendment? It's kind of obvious and trivial. Okay, I say no objections. The amendment is approved, and we're back to the main motion, minus that language about the GRC conference and dates that have passed us by already. Is there
Martha,
any further discussion?
Say,
yeah, Martha?
Yeah, I'm going to have to get off soon. How much longer do you think we have?
I don't know. I'm guessing... do we have a time certain for this meeting? We don't have a time certain.
So I'm guessing
we'll be going another 20 or 30 minutes, but if you have to get off, you have to get off. I understand you have to get up very early, and we appreciate whatever, you know, your service on this meeting.
Okay. Thank you. I'll stay on a little while longer and get off.
Thank you very much, Martha.
Thank you, Martha.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay. So is there any further discussion on this motion to – it's basically just to open up the nomination period for affiliate directors. For those who are not acquainted with the process, the affiliate directors are – there's two of them. They get voted on by the rest of the national board members, and the election takes place in December. Those affiliate directors serve for the subsequent year. So their timeline is a little bit different than the timeline of other directors. And the nominations have to be, what's the deadline? I think it's November 15th is the deadline?
Yes.
For the nomination? Okay.
Yes.
So we have to open a nomination period up pretty quickly. And that's all we're doing tonight.
Sean has a question.
Yes, Sean, what's your question?
There's a passage in there that says the IED will instruct someone to put something on the website. Is that still valid? Do we want to do that?
Yeah, we still need to. Well, whoever the IED will be, we want that person to post it should be posted on the Pacifica website that the nomination period for affiliate directors is now open, and also provide information about when it's due and how to get in your nomination.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Dwayne Lark.
Yes, Dwayne.
Call to vote.
Okay, we have a call to order. Are there any objections to the motion? Okay, seeing no objections, the motion is passed by acclamation. So we need to then go on to our next order of business, which is a whistleblower policy. I introduced this motion. Let me read it. Let me find it first. Here it is. Okay. Whereas the Pacifica Employee Handbook includes a whistleblower policy that protects an employee's right to engage in whistleblower activity and protects employees from retaliation for engaging in whistleblowing activity, be it resolved that the protections offered to employees of the Pacifica Foundation for engaging in whistleblower activity be extended to volunteers and members of the local station boards and the Pacifica National Board, that any volunteer or board member who engages in whistleblowing activity shall have the same protections, where applicable, as Pacifica employees. This means that no retaliatory action can be taken against a volunteer or board member that would change their status as a volunteer or board member if the reason for that action was engaging in whistleblower activity. And there's an addendum to that motion which quotes the entire section of the employee's handbook on whistleblowing and the fact that whistleblowers are protected and retaliation against whistleblowers is strictly forbidden. And delineates a whole procedure for whistleblowers to make their case and to present it to either the chair of the PNB, the vice chair of the PNB, the secretary of the PNB, the executive director, or any director that is trusted by that individual. And subsequent to that, the complaints from whistleblowers should be directed to the HR people that are, that work or are consulting for Pacifica. So, are there any? Is there any? That's the motion. Is there a second to that?
I second the motion, Mr. Chair, and I have a request for information.
Yes, thank you. What is your question?
How many more motions do we have on this meeting?
I'll tell you where we are in the agenda in a second.
After this, we have two more. That's all.
Okay. The reason I asked that question, Mr. Chair, for the sake of Martha and being able to expedite the votes, I wish that you would ask individuals if they have any questions regarding this motion, because I am going to request to call the vote very soon so we can move forward. Now, I yield.
I appreciate that. Yes. Does anyone have any questions about this motion? It's merely extending the same protections to volunteers and board members that Pacifica employees presently have. Other things being equal, of course, we're not talking about salary compensation or anything or union contracts with volunteers and board members, but there are still certain protections that volunteers and board members can and should have who engage in whistleblower activity. Does that make any sense?
Some, yeah.
Okay. Then are there any objections to this motion? Okay. Hearing no objections, then the motion is passed by acclamation. The next item of business.
This is James. James, with a point of order or a, I don't know.
What is your point of order, James?
I just got an email from Otis who says we're on the stream. I finally figured it out.
Great.
Okay. Then we can just announce that before we proceed that due to technical problems, we were unable to be on the stream before. And what we can do is we can read the report out from the closed session just before we adjourn the meeting. But right now I want to go through the remaining motions in the open meeting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. So the next motion on the agenda is improper procedures in removal of a director. That's a motion from Tom Voorhees. Tom, would you care to read and motivate your motion?
Let me find it here. Yeah, can when you read it here, I'm having trouble pulling it up.
Would you like somebody else to read it for you?
Please.
Grace, would you like to read it?
Sure. I have it in front of me. Motion, improper procedure in removal of a director, put forward by Tom Voorhees. Whereas the Pacifica Foundation has publicly stated, including multiple times to the press, its state of current extreme financial duress, and whereas the Pacifica Foundation and the KPFA Local Station Board are in receipt of a letter from the office of Alan Korn, Esquire, representing PNB Director Tom Voorhees, dated October 17, 2019, and whereas that letter demanded information regarding the alleged misconduct that Director Voorhees is accused of in a proposed motion to remove him as a PNB Director for the exhibition of conduct that is adverse to the best interests of the Foundation, be sent to Director Voorhees and his attorney no later than Friday, October 18, 2019. And whereas no information has been submitted to Director Voorhees or the attorney representing him by said deadline, it is hereby resolved that due to the failure to provide adequate notice of the alleged charges to the defendant director 1 week prior to the scheduled vote, due to the failure to provide reasonable and appropriate due process, and due to the Foundation's inability to accrue legal expenses by the actions of its committees, any action taken by the KPFA Local Station Board on October 26th regarding the position of KPFA Director will not be recognized by the Pacifica National Board of Directors pending submission of a new 30-day notice period and compliance with due process procedures in the Pacifica Bylaws and Robert's Rules of Order, Chapter 20, Disciplinary Actions, Section 63. That's it.
Okay. Tom,
I second it.
Okay. That was the motion from Tom that you just read, and you seconded it. Tom, would you like to motivate this?
Yeah, I'm not sure what I want to say about that, except that, you know, I am not being provided proper procedure to defend myself, and this motion hopefully is going to provide the proper procedure to do it correctly.
Okay. We may want to ask our parliamentarian about this. Mr. Tatum, there's a motion initiated by the local board of KPFA to remove Tom Voorhees as a director.
Oh.
And that's correct, right? And the question is there's a 30-day notice requirement for that. They did provide a 30-day notice for the meeting, for the removal meeting. However, no specific charges have been presented to Mr. Voorhees. In your opinion, is the KPFA LSB, or the people who brought this action from the KPFA LSB, are they required to also provide 30 days notice of the specific charges? Mr. Tatum, that was a question. if you're still on the call.
He is still on.
Yeah, I'm still on. I'm still on. You have a question. Go ahead.
Oh. Okay. The question is, when charges are brought against a director by the delegates of their local board, and they're asking for they scheduled a meeting to remove that delegate from the Pacifica National Board. They provided a 30-day notice for the meeting at which the removal will be discussed, but they have not. They did not provide a 30-day notice for the actual charges. In your opinion, are they required to provide a 30-day notice for the specific charges as well as for the meeting itself?
Yes. My opinion is yes, you need both.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Tatum. Okay. This is a motion is open for discussion. Does anybody have any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just ask Tom, is it a fair you have not been provided with specific?
Say again.
Alex, we can't hear you.
Oh. Is it a fair summary to say that you have not yet been provided with specific charges to justify your removal as a director?
That's correct.
Okay. I assume if there were specific charges, we would be able to find them somewhere?
There was a general statement made on KFPTX, but it did not get into specifics at all.
Okay. Are there any questions or discussion? All right. Then let's vote. Are there any objections to this motion? Seeing no objections, the motion is approved by acclamation. And we have one more item on the agenda. Let me go.
Before that, Mr. Chair, with the Wainwright request for information.
Yes, Director Locke, what is your request?
I have to revisit my motion, which we just put forward, and I should have asked that, is there any requirement that the PNB will set forth, notwithstanding the motion and its reading, that the chair of the KPFT local LSB would be requested or required to submit explanation as to process that was used in the alleged violation in the bylaws of the four members? Am I making my guess?
I believe that was in the motion we passed.
I can read it. It is in the motion.
Okay. I know it was clear for me to do it. Just to hear it from the chair.
Would you like me to? Should I read the motion, Alex?
Please.
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead.
Therefore, be it resolved that all four of those staff delegates be immediately restored to the KPFT LSB. Further, as it is unclear what the rationale, facts, and process was in the removal of Wendy Schrell, Joseph Davis, Venetia Patel, and Robert Gartner, KPFT staff delegates, we request full documentation about the process leading up to their removal by Matthew Moore, KPFT chair, and anyone else who cares to comment about this process. Minutes and other documentation should be included. This information must be provided to the PNB on or before October 31st, 2019 at 5 p.m. Submitted by Dwayne Lark.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. Okay. We have one more motion. Let's see if we can finish this out. The last motion on the agenda is introduced by Nancy Sorden. Nancy, would you like to read it?
Yes. Thank you. The PNB directs the interim CFO to give top priority to the payment of NEDA and the auditor Rogers and Company. If funds are not immediately available, the PNB requests an itemized list of specific revenues and expenses paid by unit as of September and October to date as soon as possible. In other words, a detailed general ledger expenses and revenues. The PNB also requests a projection as to when the funds would become available to make these payments.
Okay. Do we have a second for this motion?
Grace, I'll second it.
Okay. Floor is open for discussion.
I just would like to say that it's very critical that we remain up to date in our payments to our accounting firm and our auditors. We've been working very hard over the last year to understand where we are financially, and you know, we're just about there, and also to get our good financial practices in place at the different units. And we're just about there, and it's important to make sure we retain our accountants that are doing this this service for us that we were not able to do ourselves, and trying to get us up to date for being in compliance for CPB applications and for completing our audits. And it's just very important that we make this a top priority. And if we're not making it a top priority other than payroll, I would like us to see what else is being paid for and not our accountants or our auditors.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have discussion? Any questions? Any discussion? Well, I just want to say that there's obviously a lot of questions we have to ask of NEDA and of our ICFO. I think this is just the beginning, but I certainly support this motion. Okay. Are there any objections to this motion? Okay, so...
Yeah, just not objections, but I think I want to make sure that I don't know if it would be us or somebody or Nancy, somebody from the PNB who speaks to NETA and our ICFO as soon as possible to clarify what they can and cannot provide for us in the next coming week, perhaps. So we can get this data in our hands and discuss with them, you know, what it all means, because we understand that the projections that we received were based on previous years, and some things have changed, and we might want to adjust some of those revenue projections and a few other items. So it's probably worth a conversation directly with the NETA people. So I guess I don't mean to amend the motion. I'm just adding my 2 cents. Sorry if that's not.
No, it's fine, Eileen. It's fine. Okay. It's very relevant. Thank you. Okay. So let me ask one more time, are there any objections to this motion? Okay, seeing no objections, the motion is passed by acclamation. And before we adjourn, since we are back on the stream, can we read the report out from the closed session one more time? Who would like to do that?
Secretary?
I'd like to request that Nancy read it because she wrote it. If possible.
Okay, let me find it. All right. Hang on. Okay. On October 20th, 2019, Pacifica National Board met in closed session and voted to ratify the motions from the October 13th, 2019 closed session to rescind the motion introduced by Director Bill Crozier on October 12th, 2019, reproduced below item 1, and the board voted on the restoration of WBAI as per the motion reproduced below item 2 and discussed other personnel and legal issues and removed the vice chair and the secretary of the Pacifica National Board and elected pro tem officers for chair, vice chair, and secretary. In addition, on October 20th, 2019, the Pacifica Board voted to remove Ford Green as Pacifica Foundation's general counsel. And item 1 is the rescinded motion, which is motion to affirm actions needed to save Pacifica by Crozier, where and the entire motion that was passed on October 12th that was rescinded on October 13th and ratified tonight is shown in this report out. And the resolves on that, I will read, be it resolved that this is the part that's rescinded, be it resolved that Pacifica National Board affirms the actions needed to save the Pacifica Foundation from economic and legal disaster, including Pacifica ratifies Interim Executive Director John Verniel's action at WBAI, including removing the general manager of WBAI, laying off staff at WBAI, and suspending local operations temporarily, keeping WBAI in the air with programming from other stations until WBAI can be rebuilt with local staff and programming in a manner that is financially stable, keeping the licenses of all Pacifica stations and not blocking or selling any station. And then item 2 was the motion to restore WBAI. Was due to the severe financial stress being placed on Pacifica because of loss of revenue from the interruption of WBAI fall fund drive on the one hand and the unusual severance, legal, and administrative costs incurred by the closing of WBAI studios and operations on the other, be it resolved that BAI be immediately restored to its full functional state as it was prior to October 5th, 2019. 2, that all funds, equipment, files, computer access, the NDEC required for emergency broadcasting by the FCC, studio to transmitter link, website and email access, bank accounts and credit card access, and any other actions or materials needed to restore WBAI to its previous condition be restored or returned as the case may be immediately. 3, that all actions and plans for WBAI and our other stations be provided by an IED to the full PNB for review and approval prior to their execution. 4, that financial reports be submitted to the full PNB by the interim CFO as soon as possible after the relevant period closed. The interim CFO should devise a set of reports that includes monthly profit and loss statements, quarterly balance sheets, and cash flow projections by quarter, if not by month, plus any additional analytical reports that the PNB and management would find helpful for planning purposes. And five, that a plan be drawn up for reducing expenses by the PNB with the participation of the interim CFO and presented to the PNB in writing before the next regular PNB meeting scheduled for November 7th, 2019. That's the report out.
Okay.
The full report out will be posted on the website.
This is James with a point of order.
If I may just clarify that report out, the motion that was rescinded was a motion to ratify retroactively the unauthorized shutdown of WBI on October 7th. The motion that was passed was a motion to restore WBAI to the status it held before the October 7th shutdown. James, what is your point of order?
It's a question regarding the fact that we've not been on the stream. I've been suggested to me that we should make our actions legal by repeating them on the stream. And it's just a question as to whether the body thinks that's necessary or wise.
I've never heard of that. We're about to adjourn.
Well, that's why I raised the point of order at this time, to see if to make our actions legal when we're, normally the stream would be required, that it would be wise for us to
reaffirm
them.
Actions, there is no question that our actions are legal. We had a technical difficulty, so we were not able to stream. However, the entire meeting has been recorded and will be available to the public.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any objection? Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night,
y'all. Good night.